Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. You're watching Prophecy in the Spotlight. We got an exciting show for you again today. This is part two of our series. We started last week. Last week, we talked about the origins of globalism. Today, we're going to talk about the coming global kingdom. In truth, it's really kind of here right now, and we're going to show you that. But the coming kingdom that's going to be taken over and run by the Antichrist. And that's where we're going to start, Revelation chapter 6. Let me read verses 1, 2, and 3 here. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. That Lamb is Jesus Christ himself. John, in his mind, has been raptured, Revelation 4, 1. He sees the throne and goes through the seven sealed book in the right hand of he that sits on the throne in chapter 5 here. And then you come to chapter 6. Jesus takes the book out of the hand, of course, of the Father on the throne. And he opens the first seal right here in verse 1 and 2. Let's read this. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Oh, he's talking to John. Hey, John, come here and look at this. In verse 2, and I saw, and behold, this is the first seal now. I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And then he opens the second seal. So the first seal, I believe, of the seven-year tribulation is, in fact, the announcement or the arrival or the enlightening and showing the man of sin who's going to rule the world for the tribulation, especially starting at the middle. And here he is. He's crowned. He comes on a white horse. We believe he's come from a battle, a great victory, and he's crowned and he earns the respect of the world. Now, who this man is, we've all got our guesses, but nobody knows for sure. But one thing we know, he's alive and well somewhere on planet Earth, ready to take over. So, all right, fasten your seatbelt, get you some ice water or some iced tea or something. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Going to be an exciting show. We're going to take off where we left off last week. We've got Doc's Zechariah DVD here. She'll probably put that up sometime during the show. This was from last week. Awesome, awesome stuff in this. Is it DVD or CD?
Yes, DVD.
DVD. This is, you watch this on your DVD set. And hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Not sure.
45 minutes.
It's going to be less than an hour, I think. So. We talked about some of those things last week, the origins, all the way back to Babylon and Nimrod. The origins of this thing we call globalism began way back there after the flood, okay? Mm-hmm. And what we're going to talk about today is the fact that those things are here today that took place back then. We're seeing the globalist system already in place in the world. And we're going to look at some of these things, but before we do that, we'll make sure you know we're a viewer-supported network here, and we're getting close to another bill coming up. And if you can help us, there's an 800 number right on the screen behind me there. If you can see behind me there, the phone number is there, and the website pops up, and you can contact us. You can donate right on the website. You can call the 800 number and donate over the phone. You can mail a check, whatever. But to contact us if you need any help with that. And we appreciate all of you that partner with us here. Yeah. And we've also are buying an RV for the ministry here that I'll be doing a lot of the live streaming in. And we're still about $4,000 short. Some money has come in. We're only about $4,000 short. If you'd like to help with the, I call it the RV studio. And it's fantastic. It's going to be a tremendous help to me. And it's right in my front yard, 2 hours away from here. And so if you can help with that, we would sure appreciate it. Just let us know when you give. This is for the RV, okay? All right, Doc, let's, and some of what I'm going to talk about in the show is in my Seven Clocks, a ticking book, and you can, she'll put that up as we talk here later on. The Zechariah DVD and the Seven Clocks book really go hand in hand with a lot of our discussion here. So, Doc, this is an article I read, I wrote several years back, and I think some of this is in my Seven Clocks book, but I put some of the components of globalism here, and it's amazing when I read through this, even down to this man of sin here who's going to be crowned.
The Antichrist.
We don't necessarily know who he is. You know, we all got our guesses and all
that. We know
that.
What his title is in biblical terms. He's the Antichrist, but who he actually is individually, not for certain.
Now, some people believe, in fact, I talked to a brother last night at a church I was at. He asked me, do you believe that Judas is the Antichrist? And I said, no, I do not. I understand why people think they think he's going to be brought back.
Son of perdition.
Yeah. He went to his place, they said, which is a little strange. But I personally do not believe that it's him. But
I don't believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
And so, no. He hung himself. It's obvious. Yeah. But son of perdition is no different than a term like we talked about last week, a geographical term given to an individual doesn't necessarily mean he's coming from that geography, but he has those character traits.
Yeah.
An Assyrian.
Because I believe Judas Iscariot is in his place. He's in hell.
He's in his place.
I don't believe anybody comes out of there to do something. Nope. Except to stand at the great white throne later.
Yeah. But everybody will there.
So we got the Antichrist. We can see that the whole world is looking for somebody.
Oh, my.
Now, right now, the whole world has got somebody. His name is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Whether they like him or not, the man is changing the world.
But you and I can look at that through the biblical lens and realize for several different reasons it's not him.
Right. I don't believe it's him. I believe he's Osiris.
More of a sire because of his relationship and affinity toward Israel.
Yeah, and he.
But on a world scale, there are too many things that doesn't allow him to fit into the actual global.
But he is putting things together.
He's putting things together,
and
because America has the financial and political and militarily, we really do carry the big stick in the world.
Yeah. So the first thing that I see here, Doc, is about the end time is, and of course, Revelation 13. I realize that's the middle of the tribulation.
Yes.
But if that system of the mark of the beast is implemented in the tribulation somewhere around the middle, it must already be in place. You don't just start it off the cuff.
Not only that, but you don't have a system that's on a global scale without having run some beta test to get it to the alpha point.
So the cashless society, I call it the cashless economic system, it is assumed that during the tribulation there will be a cashless system put in place. We come to this assumption because at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist institutes what the Bible calls the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
It is decreed that no financial commerce can take place without this mark.
Right.
The mark shows an allegiance to the Antichrist and his global system and gives permission to exist. Remember, it says it's who has wisdom. It's the number of a man.
Yes.
Who has wisdom, let him understand. Yeah. And it's connected to a man, the system.
It's obvious that by the middle of the tribulation, all of this will have finally been all the pieces put together for it. But we're already watching this happen. How could you have a global currency? It cannot be physical.
Right.
How could you control global currency? It cannot be fiat. It can't be something you handle.
Yeah.
It has to be electronic. It has to be a crypto of some sort that technology governs over.
And I've shared this example many times in my books and on television. I do eBay. I buy and sell guitars on the side.
Absolutely.
I've stayed in the ministry by being self-employed, being able to do those things. And I've sold guitars to people in Russia. I really mm-hmm. have. I've shipped guitars to Moscow. Mm-hmm. It's been a few years. I don't know if you could now, but with the war going on.
I think you could.
Possibly. They say that woman that was in that, the mob
in Cincinnati.
She went back. She's from Russia.
She was a Russian. She went back home. I'd go back home, too.
Yeah,
I got treated
it's
like
probably
that.
Safer there. I don't know. But anyway... when a man buys a guitar from me from Moscow, he doesn't go to his bank and change his rubles over to dollars.
No.
He presses a button.
That's it. He buys it.
It's all done behind the scenes electronically
through the computer. We've been doing electronic for years, for decades.
Yeah.
And what started with, first of all, it started with a few little test things in smaller areas, and then it went to a regional. You first had a little bank card. Then they came out with that little square on it, that little chip.
Yeah. Now you tap it.
Now all you got to do is tap it.
Yeah.
And one of these days, in order for it to be safe, you just got to have it imprinted and just do it.
Or your forehead right on your computer screen, right to the forehead.
And so all of this is progressing.
And nobody's fighting it.
No. How do you fight it?
Yeah.
Because if your necessities of life, your health, your dietary, and everything about life is governed by how you going to kick against it?
Now let me go a little further here. You know, money talks. I have a card in my wallet. I get 1.5% back on every transaction, everything I buy, every bill I pay. I find that even at the restaurant or a $7 thing somewhere. I say, I reach in for my cash. I say, wait a minute, if I use my card, I make money.
Yeah.
So do you see the deterrent there?
But the thing is, with electronics, here's what happens. I've got a $100 bill. I pay you a $100 bill, $100 for whatever it is.
Let's do that right now.
It's still worth $100.
Yeah.
You take that same $100 bill and you pay somebody out of that $100 bill, it's still worth $100 bill. I use my electronics. In time it goes from me to you, that $100 bill has already lost $3 and something.
The fees.
You use it, the fee to the next one. It won't be long until the $100 bill that started here is worth nothing.
Yeah.
And so all of this is, it's obvious. It's moving that direction. And you're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
Everybody said, well, I'm going to just stack all my $100 bills up. Well, all you're going to have a bunch of toilet paper one of these days.
Because eventually they'll say that currency will no longer, you'll have 3 months to turn
it in. Well, it's going to happen. It will have to happen.
Oh, it has to. You can't control people.
It's not going to just happen here. It's going to happen on a global basis.
You can't control a society without control of their money.
I mean, if you had a few million people, you could put together an administrative staff to be able to do that. But we're talking 7 or 8 billion people.
Yeah.
No way.
All right. So Revelation 13:15-18, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should worship the image of the beast should be killed.
And we've covered that in some of our programs on technology and whatnot.
And so we got the Mark of the Beast system coming, which is partly
financial. I'm not
financial.
So sure, but the early stage of that system's not already in operation.
Yeah, and I made a statement here. Most of the commerce of the world, most of it, is already being done over the internet without any physical cash being
traded. I haven't checked it in a long time, but as of maybe 3 years ago, there was somewhere in the neighborhood of, I forget how many trillion dollars with a T are transferred around the world electronically every 24 hours. I don't know how much it is now. It's got to be a whole lot more than it was then.
Yeah, it just goes back and forth.
And, and it's nothing but digits. It's not real money. It's not, you know.
Well, let's move on to another one here. I've got this thing I call diverse seed because a lot of people use this, and I think they misunderstand the context.
Diverse seed, that's where the fallen angel has cohabited with an earthly woman, and diverse.
And they have little half-breed, half-angel, half-persons babies, and they call
them Nephilim. That's not what the Bible
is talking about. It is not anything to do with what this is talking about.
Stop a minute. Let's always let the Bible be its own dictionary and its own commentary.
So Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 to 43, I'll just skim it here. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Mm-hmm. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. See, this is what we're talking about, this diversity here, the diverse seed. As the toes and the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves. Well, here's where they, this is angels and humans. And it's not any
such
thing.
Read the next word.
They shall mingle themselves. With the seed of men.
Yeah.
This is not talking about angels. No. It's talking about themselves.
It's talking about humanity mingling together.
Yeah. With the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Yeah. You take a society from South America, and you mix it with society from Canada.
It don't mix.
Now, they can come together. They can have babies.
Right here in the United States. Look at the mess we have.
Look at the mess we've got. Yeah. Because years ago, when people came to America, when immigration was, they were inviting people in. And they were coming with their tools and their bags. They were coming to set up a new life. They became Americans. And they came
and
in.
They learned and spoke English. And they had everything. Now, here's a secret to understanding what you just read. Context. How many times do we say context must be, you've got to let. So what's he talking? He is talking about, in that context, the final Gentile rule. That's what we're talking about, globalism.
Yeah.
All right? I personally believe that the Antichrist is coming somehow or another out of what we today call the European Union. The European Union is nothing but the old Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was divided into a Western and Eastern leg. What's happening in Europe? I just read an article this morning. Germany, but especially England. England's population has exploded. Not because the English people have had children, but what has happened in Europe. Europe is being flooded with the seed from the eastern leg of the old Byzantine Empire, which is all Islam. The iron of Islam is not mixing with the broken shards of pottery that's putting itself back together as the Roman Empire.
And it never will
mix.
And
it cannot, it won't cohesively fit.
Yep.
And this is what, I believe this is what it's talking about. And it's not talking about anything other than men, as you said a while
different
ago,
culture,
different cultures.
Different religion, different.
But you've got the Islamic religion coming in, and hey, they don't believe in anything but that.
Yeah, and they're never going to fit in with
They're never going to.
Now, without reading the whole chapter here, chapter 7, the fifth kingdom is the revived Roman Empire, what the Antichrist kingdom during the tribulation.
Yes.
And I wrote here this fifth kingdom, which is the kingdom during the tribulation, is divided. It's not as strong as a lot of people think it is.
No,
meaning there is division. Its iron is mixed with miry clay, which shows weakness. It is said to be diverse, showing that it is made up of different types, different cultures of people.
Yes.
We see they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, not speaking of fallen angels, men mixing with men, different cultures, different beliefs, different religions, different backgrounds, and different customs. In other words, it has many ethnic and cultural differences and customs. After all, it is a kingdom made up of the whole world. Of course it's diverse.
Well, you just touched on it there, and we just mentioned the European Union. And you said a while ago, when people came to America, they all learned to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's happened in the European Union. The European Union is trying to do the same thing of bringing people together, but allowing each entity in it to maintain its own language. They've got they have the euro, that's their monetary system for all of them to work together, but they're trying to have a united state, so to speak, with each state still being everything of its own. It's not going, it just can't work. So globalism, somehow or another, is going to be able to overrule all of that.
And I think some of that's going to be caused by the power of that man and the safety that he brings to everybody.
That I'm convinced, because it says when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh destruction upon them. We today, with technology, you can take your phone, Dan, and you can put an app on there, and I can go to any country in the world, and I can say what I want it to say, and it'll speak in their language what they want to speak.
Yeah.
So this barrier of language that has been a barrier since Nimrod and the Tower of Babel is now being overruled by technology.
Yeah. And I tell you how I think he's going to make it happen. Of course, whatever happened, when he comes back on the white horse, he just saved the world, I think, from the Ezekiel 38 thing, which is right on the edge of time.
He's a man of peace. I believe the white horse indicates he's bringing peace, because that's one of the selling points.
Yeah.
And as you said a while ago, I don't think Mr. Trump by any means is the Antichrist.
No.
But he's sure setting the stage for this idea that an individual could put a stop. I mean, he put a stop to at least the two wars that he put a stop to before they started.
Yeah.
And then he took a 30-year-long war between Rwanda and its neighbor, I can't remember, the Congo, and he put a stop to that war.
I'll tell you what else I think the Antichrist is going to do. I think all debt's going to be forgiven.
Somehow or another.
And I think that brings, where do I sign? Who's not going to sign up?
I've been saying it for years. If we went to an electronic system and the incentive was that, look, our nation is in $36 trillion worth of debt. It's probably more than that. We're going to wipe all this debt out because you're responsible for your share of this debt. We're just going to start fresh. I could see it working.
Yeah.
And if you've done that to the, by the way, people in third country world right now, can you imagine if they had $100 put in their bank account when they don't make that much in 5 months?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think whoever institutes this, I mean, who cares? They're just gonna, every nation
it's
will give a certain amount
but
of money.
Digits. It's
That's right.
not based on anything.
They'll say, all right,
real.
China, we're going to give you this many trillion in your bank account. They'll take care of your people and everyone. No more, all debt's forgiven, and everybody starts off with a certain amount.
It's a level of socialism.
Yeah.
And socialism always looks good at the beginning.
And who's going to fight?
It always ends up in communism.
Who's going to fight that? I mean, hey, give me what's mine.
Look what's happened in New York. They're going to vote in a socialist. Today he said he wants everybody to get a $30 minimum wage, $30 an hour.
America used to require assimilation into society by requiring a skill.
That's what we talked about.
And learning
about.
To speak English. This is no longer the case today. And of course, now we had this 10 or 15 million.
And even today in America, you get on the phone and it's always going to say something in Spanish, wanting to know, do you want to talk in Spanish?
Yeah. Well, I got a quote here that's for me. Diversity in language and culture does not strengthen a nation.
No.
Its population. It weakens. Diversity brings weakness.
It always does.
You get an army and you got one platoon, they all speak Spanish. Over here, they speak Russian. Over here, they speak American. You got all your leaders of each platoon are different languages, different customs, different values.
Yeah.
That's going to be a weak army.
And I think this may be part of the reason why one language has become the dominant language of the world. I think God, in his foreknowledge, knew English was going to become that dominant language, so we have our King James Bible.
Yeah.
But all of these nations, when you get to people that even today that are, let's say they're 30 or 25 years or younger, almost everybody in their nation speaks to some level or the other of English. So I don't think it'd be too hard to have that language.
If you talk to anybody in the economic world, the stock market, money makers, they'll tell you, you got to learn
English.
English is where the money-making institutions of the world are. They tell me there's more people that speak English in China than there are people that that live in America. They speak English.
They got a billion people, so
But I mean, they know that if you want to make it financially, you've got to get into the English speaking world, and because that's where the control is of it all, right there.
But the language barrier is, in my thought, through technology as well, the language barrier has been overridden,
and it's getting more better all the time.
And I can see how technology is involved in every one of these.
Well, speaking of that, Doc, the last thing I put on here in the little bit of time we got left, global institutions. They're all here. Let me just read a few of them.
Oh, my.
You got the United Nations, the World Bank, the IMF, International Money Fund, the WEF, World Economic Forum. You got the European Union, EU. You got the NATO police. You got the World Council of Churches. You got the World Health Organization, the WHO. Yep. On and on we could go, and I'm sure there's many
all
more
these
than
three
that.
And four letter words, entities. Yeah,
I mean the World Health Organization almost took over our healthcare in America until
they were this close.
And
by the way, I don't think they're going to stay any further than this close because they're just waiting.
Wait till the
for
next guy
gets
an office.
Minded leader in America to do it.
And
that's how close we were.
Yeah,
you know, Mr. Trump has been a savior in that sense for America. But there's coming a time when that's not going to be there.
I wrote this, and I believe this is true. Well, let me read a couple of things. The World Bank, International Money Fund. All right, I read all those. The whole world is now ready to embrace globalism to some degree. And just a few people that are standing in the
way. Everybody thinks the UN is such a great thing. Listen, the UN is as corrupt an organization as anything on the earth.
Oh, they're anti-God, pro-abortion.
Absolutely. They are. And look what they're doing against Israel. And just recently, the stupid stuff about Israel, starving the Gazans. Oh, man, I'm tired of the people who send me all this stuff. That's anti-Israel, not realizing what they're doing.
Christians are sending us this stuff.
Yeah, Christians.
They're saying, look what
they're swallowing this.
Look what Israel's doing to them people in Gaza. Israel's not doing that.
Israel didn't do it. No, Hamas is doing it.
Yeah.
But we are in a state where easily, if you remove the Christian community, the Holy Spirit's restraint is removed. The delusion will sweep the world, and I'm telling you, what we've talked about today will just immediately fill that void.
And folks, all we're trying to tell you is look around. Behold, your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
He's coming, and he's coming soon. Everything is ready. I think Israel is ready. I think the church is at that point. I think globalism is here, just waiting on the removal of the restrainer and those who are part of that. It's all in place. You better be ready. If you need help with your salvation, contact us. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide, on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word
of God. That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Hey, Brother Dan Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We got an exciting show for you today. I want to read a verse to you here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Doc is in the studio. This is what we're going to deal with today. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come, my friends. And after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they're going to look for other people because they're not happy with real truth. They're looking for something else. And then we'll look what it says in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In today's program, we're going to talk about the age of fables. We're here. The age of fables. Stand by. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad to have you join us today here in the studio with us. And Doc is here, and I'm your host, Brother Dan Goodwin. We're going to talk about fables today. We're living in the age of fables. We're not living in the age of truth anymore. We've thrown truth under the carpet. And truth, the Bible says in Isaiah, truth is turned away backwards. Justice is fallen in the streets. You wonder why we're in such a mess. Wonder why we don't know what a difference in a boy and a girl. We don't know whether it's okay for a boy to marry a boy or a girl. You know what's happened to us? We've lost the truth. We've turned unto fables. Doc, you started this. You gave me some notes. You said, hey, we ought to talk about this. And okay, here we are. This is interesting stuff, though. This is true. We have turned to fables.
We have. Not just in the lost pagan world, but a lot in Christianity.
Yeah.
Don't realize that they are falling into traps of fables.
There's a lot of preachers who have the rainbow on their church door, and they wear their rainbow clothes to preach, making a statement.
I wouldn't have any problem with it, because the real rainbow is a sign from God.
Yeah.
But the one that they're using, if it's not a sign from God, I wonder if it might be a sign from the devil.
And I think isn't there a color missing? Or there's something different about that rainbow. I don't remember why.
I don't know what. Well, the real rainbow is actually through a prism. It's seven different colors. If I remember right, it's four, I know it's three major colors and then four redacted colors. But anyway, a real rainbow is not the same as what you're seeing, yeah. But yes.
So we got several different fables we're going to talk about today. We'll hit on the Nephilim a little bit, but not much, because we're going to do some shows on that in the near future. So the first thing on the list here is theistic evolution.
Yes.
Help them understand what that means.
Well, theistic evolution is we agree that God started this thing and then kind of just took his hands off and he kind of guided it, and evolution actually brought it all about.
So God created matter and life, but yeah, then we evolved somewhere.
And this is the same group in theology that's going to say Adam and Eve are really not real people. They are just symbolic of early humanity.
Yeah.
And so theistic evolution is we credit God with creating.
So Adam and Eve would be the first cavemen.
I guess so.
For a guy who believes that junk.
And so a theistic evolution is simply that we agree everything is evolved. Hey, folks, evolution itself is a reality in the fact if you understand that everything has a change. Everything is evolving. But macro evolution of something jumping from species to species and from age to age, that's another subject.
Yeah.
And so theistic evolution is the idea that God started it all and maybe even did a little supervision over it, but it's evolution that actually performed it.
Totally anti-biblical.
It's a way of supposedly be religious and biblical and yet still accepted by the
world.
What's
that term that they gave us? Mr. Goon, do you remember in the schools started to use a different term that kind of put God in there, but it didn't.
Oh, instead of being the God as a creator, you know, it's the superior one something of that nature.
Yeah, something that isn't too offensive to people bringing the Bible in.
Intelligent design.
Yeah, there it is.
Intelligent design. And that's just a way of basically theistic evolution. It's a way of saying, I believe the Bible, but I also believe evolution. You've got to either believe one or the other.
Yeah. And so it's a fable. It's exactly what
it is. It is a fable.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's where we are today.
That's exactly where we are.
So another one on here, the days of creation, 1,000 years long days.
It's called the day-age theory. Well, the Bible says, and here's why, you know, a lot of people don't know how to interpret Scripture properly.
Yeah.
So they take it out of context. They say, well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. And so they say, that means the week of creation was really 1,000-year-long days. And so I would ask them the question, then on day number one, God created light, but wait a minute. Day number four comes after day number three. On day number three, all of the grass and all the trees. So all of the grass and all the trees that operate by the use of chlorophyll and its relationship to light in its production, you take grass and you lay something on the grass 2 or 3 days later, what's it do when you pick it up? It's yellow and almost dying. Didn't have any light. So you're going to tell me that the trees and everything created on day number three had to live 1,000 years before there was any sunlight. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but this is what they think. In other words, these are ways, they are fables that is trying to be scriptural and yet accepted by the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Compromise.
Now, you mentioned here some things are literal, some things are metaphorical, some things are figurative, and it's important that we understand
That's it. You know, you've spoken on this and written on it as well as I have, understanding how to interpret Scripture.
Yeah.
There's some basic things that people need to follow. And there are things in the Bible that are absolutely literal. And we often will say, well, I take my Bible literal. And I do. But at the same time, there are things in the Bible that are literal, but they're being used figuratively.
They're literally figurative.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. His hair was white like as of wool.
Yeah, as a...
This
is how a parable works.
Yeah.
Trying to teach something that's true without using something that is real and literal would be... I could say, well, Dan, I'd like to give you this $3 bill. And you'd say, there's no such thing. But if I used an illustration with a $20 bill, you'd take it in a hurry. I know you.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you're ready for it. Because it's something that's real.
Yeah.
So a lot of times there are things that are used in the Bible, literal terms, but they're being used in a manner of figuratively used, speaking figuratively.
For instance, the verse I just quoted, his hair was white as of wool.
Yeah.
Or like as
so
wool.
So that
he didn't have wool hair.
That doesn't mean he has a wool head. No.
And Revelation is filled with symbols and types and things like that.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, maybe. But anyway, yes, the whole book of Revelation is built out.
And of course, Job 38, the verse that they all go to try to say that the sons of God are in fact angels in heaven. And yet the sons of God in Job 38 is not angels at all. It's a metaphor.
Yes, it's a metaphor. It's not even speaking of angels.
No, not at all.
Here's the thing, back to the issue of interpreting the Bible. No scriptures of its private interpretation, doesn't stand out apart from the rest of scripture. And the Bible you need to let it be your own dictionary, because you can go to John chapter number 1 and you'll discover that the sons of God are folks that are redeemed.
That's right.
And so, are they contradictory? Yep. Is there a contradiction in Scripture? Yep. No.
In Hebrews 1:5, unto which of the angels said I at any time, thou art my son?
But see, here's the thing. We try to impose our ideas upon Scripture.
Yeah.
And so we get a harebrained idea, whatever it is, and we start looking through the Scripture to find a verse, not realizing there's 10 other verses probably that doesn't even say the same thing. But boy, I've got it here. And then I make it won't be long that I've got a following of
people.
And
they have a preconceived notion.
Yes.
And that's one of the things, the hardest things for us to understand our Bible is to put away what we've been taught all of our life.
Absolutely.
And let the Bible tell me what the truth is. And the whole Nephilim crowd is a bunch of people who weren't King James people. They went outside to other areas. Yep. This thing's gotten way out of hand. Way out of hand.
And there are a lot of things. And it's amazing. And, you know, I've been at this thing, 60, I'll be 75 in another month or so.
I've had you 75 for a year now. I thought you were going on 76.
Well, I think I'm 95, the way I feel. But anyway, I've never seen such in Christianity.
Yeah.
Is what I'm seeing today. Now, I'm not surprised. Listen, folks, I am not surprised that the world thinks like the world thinks, because they're sold on evolution. But I can't understand why some of the things that have now come into Christianity is being accepted in churches, good churches.
And I'm with you. I can handle what the world does and how they live and all that, but it's God's people that bother me. And that's what God's looking at. God says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. God's not concerned with the world. The world's like it is because the salt and light has lost its savor.
Absolutely. And well, the Bible says we're to be a peculiar people.
Yeah.
Zealous of good works.
Yeah.
But we're allowing, I think part of it is the desire to be accepted.
Yeah.
Because true Christianity, folks, you need to understand, true Christianity between here and the rapture is going to become rarer and more rare all the time. Because the great majority of people, I'm not saying they're not saved, but the greater majority are wanting to be accepted. They don't want to be seen as a square peg in a round hole. They don't want to see it an oddball.
And it ends with, they that kill you will think they do God's service.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be the offscouring. We're almost there now.
You're going to watch Christianity be pushed to the peripheral, to the outside, where once Christianity was on the inside, helping govern and guide the morals of even a lost world. As Christianity, as the Bible is being pushed to the periphery of the outside of society, what's happened? It has fallen completely apart.
Yeah.
And these are fables. And so it goes back, I believe, in a proper interpretation of the Bible would help a whole lot of people.
And I have, of course, my seven laws of Bible study. I have in some of my books. And Doc, I've decided I'm going to put that in a booklet all by itself.
I like that. Yes.
And I may add a little bit to it, but not too much. I think it's nice just the way it is, real simple.
No, but it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had preachers call me and say that they've used your
seven
laws, and it's been a great help to them.
My book here, The Great End Time Distraction, if they can see that, has the seven laws of the Bible in it. Yeah. In fact, I use the seven laws to prove things.
But I think it would be great to have a booklet on it.
Yes. I think so, too. And
I'm discovering that people will read a 30-page booklet or a 35-page whatever, whereas many times they feel like I don't have enough time to read this book.
Intimidating for a lot of people. Yeah. And
we don't live in a society of readers anymore.
Yeah.
We're in a society of watchers.
Yeah. Well, Doc, let's hit on some. We may come back to the gap here, but I want to jump to the flat earth because I don't want us to miss this because this has gotten big.
Oh,
it started out, everybody laughed about it, but this thing has grown. Yeah. These people are serious about it.
Oh, yes, they're serious. They'll almost fight you over it.
Yeah, it's gotten to the place now where you're not even a Bible believer if you don't agree with us on this.
Yeah.
And the flat earth
thing, that's what happens.
It's a fable.
When you impose your ideas on Scripture, then pride causes you to become contentious about it. Flat earth is not, it's not flat. Never has been and never will be. It's a fable. And what they do is they take Scripture out of its context and they use metaphorical statements as taking it literal.
Exactly.
And
the foundation of the earth, like it's flat and it has a foundation.
God sets on the circle of the earth. And listen, folks, you need to understand, every single thing in creation is a direct revelation of God Himself. Everything in creation is based on a Trinity. I mean, we're a spirit, soul, and body. God's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Everything all the way down to the molecule, and everything all the way down to the atom, everything is a Trinity.
Yeah.
Because creation itself is a picture of God, and God is eternal. The world is round because you can't go north and ever end up south.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go west or east and end up the opposite. Why? Because God is eternal. There is no beginning and there's no end with God.
That's good.
Everything in creation is a revelation of God Himself. That's why in the book of Romans, chapter number 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, I've got it here in big letters so I can see it. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." In other words, creation itself is a revelation of God.
Yeah.
And so there's no such thing as a flat earth.
That's powerful. I was having a conversation with a person that I've known for a long time. Never met them, but I've known them for a long time. And they've bought into this hook, line, and sinker. And they were posting stuff. And I don't know. I didn't want to get into it, but I said, you know what? The moon itself teaches. I mean, the fact that there's a crescent moon, Doc, is proof of a round earth. The sun... The moon, the earth gets in the way of the sun. The earth is round. It has to be. If it was flat, you wouldn't have a crescent moon,
a
shadow.
You'd have a square block on it.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the Bible's, and this is back to Genesis on day number 4, when God created the sun and the moon and the stars, He set them in their order. We would call those their orbits. And some are circular, some are elliptical, and each one has a different time and its movement. And people say, well, we don't move around the sun. The sun moves around us. No, wait a minute. It's both. We are turning in a 24-hour period of time. At the same time, we are making a circuit because there is no beginning and there's no end in our orbit. Where do you start? Where do you finish? Because you're constantly, it's all a reflection of the eternality of God.
Now, along with the moon, and I got that passage open. I'll read this. These same people, many of them, have a misunderstanding about the light of the moon.
Yes.
and it goes without saying, if you believe the Earth is flat, but yet we have crescent moons, that's why they have to come up with something else.
Yep.
And here's what it says in the Bible here. Genesis,
yes.
Verse chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Let them be for lights. He's talking about the moon and the stars and the sun. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light, obviously the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. Just threw that in. I made some stars,
it's just like,
too.
Yeah.
A few zillion stars I made. Yeah. And so here's what some of them believe, Doc, and you wrote this down. The moon has its own light, so you must have heard this too.
Oh, yes.
They're claiming the moon. They said, well, the Bible says the moon has its own light. And that's not what it says. The Bible says that I'm the light. Ye are the light of the world. Does that mean we have our own light?
Does that mean I have my own light?
No.
No.
The light comes from Jesus.
It's again. There is the moon only has light that's a reflector.
That's right.
It's reflecting the light from the sun. Why is that? All of creation revolves around the Creator. The sun is the light, whether it's the S-O-N or the S-U-N.
Yeah.
And the moon is a reflect. In essence, the moon is more of a symbolic statement of the church. We're to be the reflector of the light of the Son of God. And so...
Now, you know, Doc, you could perform an experiment. And I'm sure you can buy them kits, probably, where they have the solar system and you have a light and you can move things and you can see the eclipse of the moon and all that.
Oh, yeah, you can
that.
See it. Yeah.
And it doesn't work with the flat Earth.
But these are the same folks that, because of these things, they have to use this, that, or the other to try to reinforce what they are imposing upon Scripture.
Yeah.
And the moon does not have a light of its own.
Now,
it is a reflector of the light.
Anybody that's been in space has to know, right?
Well, these are the same people that don't believe that we've ever been to the moon.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with people fighting over that.
Believe what they want to believe.
I think some of it's a controversy over where they tested, where they practiced and did their training. They built a site. Yeah. And I think some of the controversy comes from pictures of that.
Well, here's the thing. I would ask the folks that doesn't believe we've ever been to the moon or that we don't have the space probe. There are people in the space station today, out there all those many miles up in a space station.
You can see it.
And when you see the picture from the space station, Earth is round.
Yeah.
And but anyway,
there have to be a lot of people in on the fraud.
And there's a whole lot of people in.
How would
on
they
it?
Keep their mouth shut about something?
And
like
you
that.
Get all kinds of, you get all kinds of things. People send me stuff all the time, And I'm just kind of, and most of it I just disregard. I'm not going to get in an argument with people. You can believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
But I'm going to believe the truth.
You said, and you said this already, creation is a direct revelation.
Yes, it is.
In other words, unveiling of the person and character of God.
Because you cannot help, no matter where you are in the world, you cannot help but see the things of creation and realize somebody. That's why they worship this mountain or they worship this tree or they worship something, because God created us to have fellowship with Him. Because of sin, we don't have it. So man is looking for something for that void. And creation reveals there's a Creator.
All right. Fables. We got one more thing to discuss. But first, we just got a few minutes left. Folks, we are viewer supported here on CTN and VTN. And we also have a YouTube channel, a Rumble channel, Facebook page. You can find everything over there at prophecyinthespotlight.com. The 800 number is right there. We would love for you to pick up that phone, call, and don't donate if you can, whatever God lays on your heart. If you'd like to help keep us on the air, help keep this thing going, help fight the battle over fables.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We need your help. We need you to partner with us.
Yes.
We got our 3-year anniversary coming up next week. Don't miss next week's program. We got a special program for you about where we're headed from here and our 3-year anniversary. Looking forward to that. So we need your help. I think there's about 2 weeks left and the bill's due, something like that, and we're not there yet. We need your help. So if you can do that, go to the website or call the 800 number, whatever. And if you'd like to talk to Doc or I personally, we'd be happy to talk to you. All right. Well, God bless. And
I want to also thank the folks that have been giving on the roof project.
The roof project. And that's on the website as well. Yes. Our roof has a few issues, and we need a roof. It's $15,000. And some money's come in.
We're not halfway.
We're not halfway. So we need help on the roof. I don't send that to Process Spotlight. It needs to be made out to WTTM, I think.
Yes.
But it's on the website. Just go to Process Spotlight. Yeah. You'll see down in the page, you'll see the roof program or whatever it's called. And you click on that, it takes you to his place where you can donate right there to the roof. All right? Because if you donate it here, I'm going to take a trip to Hawaii and and enjoy myself. And we got 2 minutes left, Doc, and I want you to talk about this here because this is important. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel. I want you to talk about
the
that
word signify means to make known by the use of signs and symbols.
Yeah.
So the book of Revelation is filled with symbolic things. Most of them are literal. I mean, what's it mean when it had a face as a man, or it had had this feature or that feature, and these creatures that came out, all of this, it's all over the book. Literal things being used to teach a literal truth. And often we're taking them literal rather than seeing them used symbolically.
Yeah, yeah. And that's important. And we already brought up his hair was white like as of wool. He didn't have wool hair.
No.
It was symbolic, showing that his hair was white. And by the way, I got a little bit of that. You got less than I have, but for other reasons.
The book of Revelation is you've got to understand that there's going to be literal things, and then literal things that are used symbolic. And the text in its context will help you know which you're looking at.
Yeah. All right, folks, well, we're just about getting to the end of the clock there, and I hope that we have helped you today. Listen, don't get caught up in fables.
Yes.
Trust this book right here. Trust the Word of God. Learn how to study it. Learn how to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is the truth. Learn how to read and study the Word of God and trust it. This is the truth right here. Job called it the Scripture of Truth. Here it is. I have it right here. This is the truth. And, well, thanks for watching today. And we enjoy coming on every week and being in your home, being in your living room. And appreciate you all very much. Thank you for praying for us and partnering with us and keeping us on the air. And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.